I'm going to tell you a story. I had been in the ministry for about over a decade, and I didn't have much experience, though, with interviewing, and it was showing. I was in an interview at a church, and things weren't really going my way. I remember this guy had a really good question. He asked me, what would you do? There's a husband and a wife. They're having marriage problems. What would you do? That was his question. And, you know, if you asked me that question today, I'd probably hit it out of the park. However, I had been learning about biblical counseling. I had been learning about counseling process for about 5 years. I hadn't done a whole lot of it. It was a lot of studying and book knowledge. So this guy hit on something. I'll call it a jagged truth. And so here's the jagged truth. He figured out with that one question that I had 11 years experience, but it wasn't 11 years experience focused on pastoral counseling, and that was part of the role that I was interviewing for. What was I to do in that situation? Fake it? Tell the truth? If you want to know what I did, you can see me after the service. Well, what do you do in situations like that? If you're like me, maybe you've struggled and stumbled in your handling of the truth more than you've gotten it right. Let's face it, a jagged truth is a jagged truth. It's not easy to handle. And so let's define that. The truth I'm talking about today is one that's jagged because when told, it can hurt you, in which case the truth would have hurt me at that moment in that interview, or it would hurt other people. Certainly would have hurt the search team because they were hoping that I had all this experience in counseling. Sometimes we mishandle the truth, and that can be withholding information from those who deserve it. That search team deserved to know before hiring me whether or not what kind of experience that I have in pastoral counseling. If I withheld that information from them, I would have been concealing the jagged truth. Mishandling the truth can also be about giving information that isn't 100% true. I could have taken something out of a marriage text. Up to that time, I'd read a lot about marriage. I could have taken something out of one of those texts and said, you know, when I work with couples, here's what I do, and just spouted something out of one of these books. That wouldn't have been 100% true. This happens a lot. Can you put me on the slides? I want to go to the University of Virginia study. There we go. So the University of Virginia 1996 study showed that over the course of a week, we deceive about 30% of the people that we interact with on a one-on-one basis. And if I understand the study correctly, this was based on self-reporting. And you know how deceitful our hearts are. It's probably a lot higher than that, but this is what they found with people self-reporting. Some examples of lying about the jagged truth I have taken from Jerry Scazzaro's book about emotional health. She says, sometimes we greet somebody with a big smile and a big hug, when really inside, we can't stand the person. You've done it. You say, we're just fine in our marriage, when your marriage is icy and cold. You say, I think you did a great job to somebody, when really you think the job was adequate at best. Maybe adequate. Now, what's the big deal with mishandling the jagged truth? Well, I wanted you to see this morning that there's a battle going on over the truth. Certainly capital T truth, we know that, but we're talking about a lowercase t truth today. The truth about me, the truth about you. And we need to know where the lies come from because apparently we do it so often. We need to look into this and figure this out. John 8 and verse 44 explains that the devil was a murderer from the beginning and he's always hated the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. They just come out of him because it's part of his character. You'll find all the scriptures I'm going to mention in this early part of the message in your take-home if you want to pull that out and look under today's scriptures. On the first page of the take-home, you'll see all the scriptures I'm going to share here, so you can look these up at home as well. But we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, Paul tells us. We're not ignorant of them. And so if we go back to Exodus 23, we find this. It says, take no bribes, for a bribe makes you ignore something that you clearly see. A bribe makes even a righteous person twist the truth. Will you twist the truth with me? Twist it. Come on, twist it. Yeah. You've done it before. You know what it's like, right? Twisting the truth. The evil one entices us with a bribe. Sometimes we get something out of lying. It works for us in some way, or we wouldn't do it so often. So if I want to stop an uncomfortable conversation with you, I can do it by lying. If we're having an uncomfortable conversation, I can stop the conversation by lying. I can start, I can keep an uncomfortable conversation from starting. I also can maintain my sterling image with you, if I have one with you, by lying and making myself look better than I am. And here's the kicker. Sometimes we actually lie for the benefit of the other person. We're saying, you know what? If this jagged truth were to be known by this person, this would devastate them. I cannot let them see this. And so sometimes I lie because I don't want to hurt you. In fact, the university study that we looked at earlier showed in 1/4 of our lies are not for our benefit, it's for the benefit of the other person, so we think. I'm thinking about that search team. What do you think they wanted to hear from me when they asked me if I had experience counseling husbands and wives? They wanted to hear, yes, I've done that. I know exactly what I'm going to do. The first day a man and a woman are having trouble with their marriage come to my office, I know exactly what to do. That's what they wanted to hear. But had they heard that, that would have been a concealing of the jagged truth. Have you ever bought into a lie like that? That's a bribe right there. If I tell them this, I can get through this interview. Maybe I'll get the job. Have you ever made yourself look better than you really are? What's going on in that moment? What's going on is there's a battle for truth. The enemy's trying to get you on his side to conceal what the truth really is. So that's one side of the battlefield. We certainly have an enemy. But on the other side of the battlefield, we have our God. And in John chapter 17, whoops. Can you take me to John 17, 17? Thank you. So in John 17:17, we see, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So our model to follow in truth-telling is a God who's always faithful. We just sang, great is thy faithfulness. Our God's always faithful to tell us the truth. So every time you tell the truth, what you're doing is you're reflecting the God who has given us truth, both in Jesus Christ and in the scriptures that we're looking at this morning. It's like my children. How much joy do I get when my children tell the truth? It reflects on me as their father. How much pain do I have when my children don't tell the truth? Because it reflects back on me, their father. And it's the same way with our Heavenly Father. And so Psalm 5 says, my enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery. O God, declare them guilty, the psalmist says. Let them be caught in their own traps. Drive them away because of their many sins. For they have rebelled against who? You. So the psalmist is upset. He's saying, God, take care of my enemies. Do something with them. They're a bunch of liars. But then when he gets to the end, he says, it isn't me they're rebelling against. It's you they're rebelling against. And so when we look at our mishandling of the truth, we have to realize at its core, it's rebellion against God. So handling the truth with care is important because of the spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. We have two characters, God who can't help but be truthful and the devil who can't help but tell lies. But also, the jagged truth is coming out anyway. So this desire that we have to conceal and keep it covered up is problematic for us. And Luke explains this when he talks about hypocrisy and he talks about keeping secrets and concealing things. Here's what he says, Luke 8 and verse 17, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought into the light, and it will all be made known to all. Okay? I can't tell you exactly how it's going to happen, but the scripture says it's going to happen. Romans 2 and verse 16, if you didn't believe Luke, you can believe the writer of Romans who says, the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. So all these secret things are eventually going to be brought into light. Have you ever spent a great deal of time trying to conceal a secret about yourself? Or maybe you wanted to keep someone else knowing a truth that you really should have shared with them? In concealing the truth, we're only delaying the inevitable. We're wasting our time. So the handling of truth with care is important because there's a spiritual battle going on, these two characters on the battlefield. And the jagged truth is important because we know that eventually it's going to come out anyway. And I think, though, the main motivation, though, for us to handle the truth with care is that it honors God. That's the main thing. 1 Timothy 5 says it this way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. When I was a teenager, I had a lot of godly people in my life. Most of them were older, and many of them at different times told me the jagged truth about myself and what they saw about my behavior and my attitudes and such. They risked relationship with me by telling me the way they saw things. And at the time, most of the things they said, I thought, you know, I'm not sure about that. I think I'm going to go do my own thing. But of course, as time has passed, I look back on those truths, and almost every single one of them was spot on. That's an illustration of this verse, which says, good deeds are obvious. Well, to those people, it was obvious. I got to tell Vinny this because I don't want him to ruin his life. It's a good deed. But it wasn't obvious to me. But over time, the scripture says, those good deeds that people do cannot remain hidden forever. 1 Corinthians verse 4, chapter 4. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. Put your name in there. You will receive your praise from God. Amen. Right? When you have handled the truth with honor. To honor God. I want to tell the truth for my own sake because I don't want to be untruthful. Because I know how much trouble it gets me when I do. I want to tell the truth for your sake because I want you to know the truth. But ultimately, the scripture says we tell the truth because it honors God. That's the main thing. So there's a battle going on between if the truth's going to come out or not. And we want to spend our time handling the truth in a way that honors God so that he'll be pleased, so that he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You handled this truth well. In Psalm 15, David says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who's blameless, the one who is righteous, and here, who speaks the truth from their heart. Who speaks the truth from their heart. That is our goal when handling the jagged truth, is to speak the truth from our hearts. That's what God's asking of us. So then we have this question, how do we handle the jagged truth? Because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And I know some people came up to me and asked me some questions about how to handle certain situations. Well, there were some questions I gave you for reflection, and I called these handling instructions. Here, I've turned them into questions. Let's talk about them as the first five handling instructions of truth. And for those who weren't here, get a little review here. The first one is my handling of the truth, the kind of treatment I would want from others. So what do I want from you in handling jagged truth about me? Well, I don't want you blabbing to others about my jagged truth. I don't want that. So I don't want to do that to you. I don't want others using the jagged truth as a weapon against me. I would rather you use it as a tool for my growth to help me grow, not to hurt me. And last, when it comes to what I want from you, if there's information that I need to know, I want you to tell me. And so I want to do that same thing for you. In the second question is my handling of the truth helping me maintain a clear conscience? This one's simple. A week from now, a month from now, a year from now, am I going to be looking over my shoulder wondering if you're going to find out about this jagged truth that I didn't share with you? If so, then I'm not handling the truth in the right way. Number three, is my handling of the truth revealing the good news of the gospel or concealing it? If I spend a lot of time concealing my sin or covering it over, I'm really negating the power of the gospel. Because if you can't see my weaknesses, if you can't see my struggles, how can the gospel make any sense in a context where there is no pain and struggle and sin? So it hides the gospel. Number four, is my handling of the truth in dependency on the Holy Spirit? Am I following my own earthly wisdom? So simple. Am I doing what feels right in this situation, like what I want to do? Or am I asking God, God, what do you want me to do with this jagged truth? And then the last one is my handling the truth, a representation of my new nature in Jesus. So I'm a new creation in Jesus. And the way that I did truth-telling before I became a Christian should not resemble the way I do truth now. It should be very different because I'm a new creation in Christ. So I have to ask myself these five questions when I'm handling a jagged truth to see if I'm on track. But these, I believe these are like overarching questions. They're big questions, and they're not easy ones to answer. What I wanted to do is kind of come down a little bit to the where the rubber meets the road and talk about how do you handle the jagged truth with care in a really, really, really practical way. So if you have your sermon notes, you'll see that there's like the next five handling instructions that I want to share with you. I call them 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So the first one is handling truth number 6, which is to speak the truth in love. Now, Ephesians 4 says it this way. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in what? We'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Jesus. Note that part, the more and more like Jesus part, who is the head of his body, the church. Also recognize that Paul is speaking here to the he's speaking to the church, so he puts this in the context of the church. So am I sharing the jagged truth in love? What is motivating me when I'm getting ready to share this? Is it love? Is it hate? Is it bitterness? Is it anger? I really need to check my motivation. When I share a jagged truth, I need to ask myself, is this the most loving way for me to say this? Or am I just saying it in a way that's rude and disrespectful to the person? What we also need to recognize from this passage is that truth-telling or a handling of the truth, particularly jagged truth, is really a discipleship issue. Paul says we want to grow more and more like Jesus. And it's also an issue of church, family. How do we handle the jagged truth with one another? How will you handle jagged truth about me? Will you talk to me about it? Or are you going to talk to someone else about it in the family? Quick illustration. John, can you stand up? And Tim, we did this earlier, so this is rehearsed. No one's going to get hurt or anything. But John, I don't think, we've known each other for 8 years. I'm not sure if we've ever disagreed or anything. But let's say we had a disagreement, and John's upset with me. The question is, what's he going to do about that? Is he going to confront me? Is he going to talk to me about it? Or maybe he can just let it go. So he has two choices, in my opinion. One, he can go to Tim, and he can talk to Tim about it, provided he's trying to work through his emotions of how he feels about me in the situation, and that's helpful to him, and he can drop it, he can let it go. Or number two, he has the option to go to Tim, talk to Tim, for the purpose of, hey, I need you to help me think this through because I need to go to Vinny and I need to confront him about this and I'm not really sure how to do that. In my mind, if he goes to Tim in any other way, I call that gossip, right? Because he's going to Tim, who's not part of the solution, and telling Tim stuff about me. So he's got to be part of the solution. If he's not part of the solution, then John's not speaking the truth in love. Okay, thanks, guys. That's our goal, speaking the truth in love. So we really need to check ourselves when we go to someone else to tell them about another situation or another person. Is this really a loving thing? Is this person part of the solution? Once you're sure that you're being motivated by love, you can move on to the next piece, which is handling truth number 7, or instruction number 7, which is seeking wisdom. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is personified. This is wisdom speaking. And here are wisdom's words. Here are her words. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you can desire can be compared to it. So we want to have wisdom in how we handle the jagged truth. What is the wisest way? I have to ask God, what is the wisest way for me to handle this jagged truth? So God's word is the foundation of wisdom. It's the fountain of wisdom. So we need to know the scriptures. And that's why we talk about steeping yourselves in the scriptures so often, because you need it. We need to seek that wisdom that comes from the scriptures above all else, because they testify of Jesus, who is the truth. They testify of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth and who leads us into all truth. James says it clearly, ask for wisdom and you will receive it. Now, there are some tricky situations, no doubt, when it comes to the jagged truth. Some people have asked me, do I have to say something every time I see a jagged truth? Do I have to say something on it? No, not really. Let me give you an example. You can make allowance for the other person. You might not say anything. What if I'm at work and someone parks in my designated parking spot? Do I have to get all over them and tell them they're a jerk and tell them not to park in my parking space? No, that day, that week, that month, I might just let it go. I might say it's not that big of a deal. I'll park somewhere else. What if there's a new believer in a Bible study and that person maybe doesn't have much tact or they really haven't matured in Christ yet? You might make allowance for that. You may say, you know what? They're growing. They're on their growing edge. I'm going to let that go. Another example, the scripture says that love covers a multitude of sins. If I have an employee, for instance, that steals from me, and I go to that person, I confront them with the jagged truth, and I seek God's wisdom, and I say, God, how am I supposed to handle this person? And I restore them back to their job. I don't have to go and tell the whole world about it. Maybe it's just between me and them, or maybe it's between me and them and one other person that's going to hold them accountable to make sure they don't steal from me again. It's another example of seeking wisdom about the jagged truth. Wisdom comes from God, but sometimes God sends a delivery boy with wisdom, and that is other people. I want to encourage you, next time you face a jagged truth, to grab a hold of some godly people, people that you trust, people that you know seek God's wisdom, not people who will tell you what you want to hear. Godly friends are critical to help us with truth-telling. The University of Virginia study we looked at earlier says that people are the least likely to lie when they have strong same-sex friendships. So if I have other guys around me that I can be real with and who can be real with me, who will tell me the jagged truth about myself, it's going to encourage me when I'm not with them to tell the truth in my regular everyday life with other people. And the same thing is true for women. So that's number 7, that we want to seek wisdom. And we seek it from God, and sometimes God sends people into our lives to help us. Then there's handling instruction number 8, which is to keep it simple. And Proverbs 7:27 says, a truly wise person uses few what? Words. Few words. See that? Few words. 2 Corinthians also gives us some instruction here, and it says, we have been given, since through God's mercy, we have been given this ministry. So we have a ministry. We do not lose heart in this ministry. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. But on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, this is a verse we read earlier during our worship time. So, Paul's saying, he's talking about capital T truth here, I'll give you that, but I believe we can apply it to small t truth. He's saying we don't lose heart when we come up to a truth. We renounce secret ways, we do not distort the truth, but we set it forth plainly. Okay, and I have a quick illustration for you here. You knew I had to have one, right? I have to now, I mean, it's my thing, right? I have a dump truck and a scoop up here, and what I want to show you is there's two different ways of dealing with the truth, and we have to be careful with this. You know, you don't have to say everything that's on your mind when you talk to someone else or when you talk about the jagged truth. I learned this the hard way. My wife was in a Bible study. She came home from the Bible study. She said, part of the Bible study is for me to talk to you about this really sensitive area. I want to ask you about it, and it was really not about her, but it was about me, and so she asked me a question, and I was like, this is great. We kind of been talking about this the last 2 weeks. I've been thinking about it. I mean, I was ready to tell her everything about this situation, this topic. And so I backed up the dump truck. Beep, 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 beep. And I dumped it. I dumped everything that was in my head. It's like, here came the sand, here came the dirt and the gravel, and by the time I was done, I couldn't see Heather. But I could hear her, because she was crying. I told her everything that was in my head. Instead of saying, oh, Heather, let me just tell you about this. Can we talk about that? What? Yeah, but there's this other piece of it too I should tell you about. That's over here. No. No scoop. The whole dump truck. The whole thing. And some of you are laughing. It's been done to you, or you've done it to someone else. You don't have to say it all in one conversation. You don't have to go on and on. It's something I see in counseling all the time with two people in the room with me. And one person just goes on and on and on and on. And I'm trained to be a good listener. And I'm listening, and I got a few things they said. Then they said a bunch of other stuff. And I forgot the things they said at the beginning, which were probably the most important things, right? We have to be careful about that. We start small, and we build from there, one scoop at a time. Okay? So that's about keeping it simple and not complicating it, starting one place and then moving on from there. So that's number 8, keep it simple. We're going to move on to handling instruction number 9, which is consider your timing. Proverbs 29 says that a fool is the one who utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it until afterwards. Okay, let me give you a second to let that soak in. Later in Proverbs 29, it says, if you see a man hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. We'll let that one sink in. And then there's Ecclesiastes. Okay, those two are kind of talking about holding back a little bit. Maybe you're not really ready to share the jagged truth yet, so maybe you need to kind of sit back for just a moment. But Ecclesiastes tells us, yes, there's a time to be quiet, but then it says there's also a time to speak up. Do you see that? Time to be quiet, time to speak up. Unprocessed emotions are very dangerous. Okay, that means you haven't processed them yet and you then share them with somebody. Very dangerous. Are you really ready to say something about this jagged truth? You need to be sure that you are. You need to be sure that you have prayed to God. God, show me about this situation. Show me, help me understand this. Lord, do you want me to say something about this? And Lord, show me what the truth is here. And then listening, sitting and listening and allowing God to speak to you about the situation. And also, it's often a good thing to process those with someone else, like a counselor, a trusted friend, a godly person in your life. Proverbs 15:23 says, a word spoken in what? Due season. A word spoken in due season. How good it is. It's a good thing when a word is spoken in due season. So there is a time to be quiet, but then there's also a time to speak up. And it's in the due season that we want to speak up. Don't hold on to months and years of stuff about somebody and then back up your truck and dump it all over them. That is not sharing the jagged truth in due season. You need to share the jagged truth sooner than later, but you need to make sure that you process those emotions before you do it. Do you see how that works? I'll give you an illustration. I was made aware this year that I wronged somebody many years ago. When I tried to make things right with that person this year, it wasn't a good time for them to talk about it. They're actually in jail, and they weren't getting bailed out, and it was a really raw moment for them. And they basically said, I said, I understand this, I see this, I need to talk to you about this, I need to make things right. And they said, you know what, now's not a good time. And based on my I thought maybe I should write this person and say it in a letter. And I talked to some of my mentors, and they said, you know what, you need to let that other person decide when you're going to make amends to them, because this is in their court. You said you want to make things right. I can't be hasty in my words. I can't decide, well, this would feel really good for me if I could get this off my chest and dump that. I have to do it in due season, and in due season is when they're ready, not when I'm ready. So that's number 9, considering your timing. And we're going to do the last one now, which is handling instruction number 10. This is to pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. Prayer is important because only God can help that other person that's on the other side of the table from you. You're going to share something with them, and their response is only something that God can influence. Example of this. Within this last year or two, I've learned a lot about my past, and I felt led to go back to my dad and my stepmom and to have a conversation with them about things that happened when I was a teenager, between the age of like 16 and 20-ish. And, you know, I had no idea how they would respond to the jagged truth that I was going to share with them about myself. And I prayed for the best. I prayed that they would respond well. And it turned out that they they responded better than I thought they would. I was apologizing and making amends, you know, but what happened was they did the same thing. They apologized and they made amends for decisions they made and things they said. But you know, that's not always the case. Sometimes we share a little scoop of truth with somebody and there's like this chemical explosion. They get upset, they deny, they backtrack, they conceal. We can't control what other people are going to do. So we pray for the best, but we prepare for the worst. You know, when I went to my parents about this, it wasn't about them and their response. It was about me. God told me to go and share this with them. So whatever response they gave me was their response, and I had to leave that with God, leave that in His hands. We have to remember that fools do not handle truth well. When you go to speak with somebody, you have to remember this verse, which is Proverbs 18, in verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. So you may go to somebody, you may share a jagged truth with them, and they may say, you know, pound sand, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. So we prepare for the worst. We prepare for that. We don't let that keep us from sharing a jagged truth. So quick review. We said we're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to seek God's wisdom. We're going to keep it simple. Remember the scoop? We need to consider our timing. And we need to pray for the best and prepare for the worst. As I was preparing this, a little song came to my mind, a song that we've sang here before. So if you know it, sing it with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. Every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes, in your eyes. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. So we come to the Lord's table. And Jesus said it himself the night that he took this table with his disciples. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So if Jesus isn't the central truth in your life right now, we're going to ask you to let the elements pass you by, and there's no shame in that. Today is a day for you to consider Jesus and what he means for you in your life, that he really is the truth. Will you accept that Jesus is God's truth, sent from heaven to redeem you, to buy you back from a life of living your own way? Will you believe God's words, the truth set forth in the Bible that we've been talking about all morning? If so, please consider the prayers in the bulletin. On the back of the bulletin, there are some prayers for those who would consider themselves unbelievers at this time. And for the rest of us, we have to think about Jesus' disciples on that night. They wanted to know the jagged truth about who was going to betray him. And little did they know that that night, each one of them would turn around and run in the other direction. And in a sense, they would all betray him in one way or another. The Lord's table is a time for us to reflect on our walk with Jesus, like those disciples had to. Have we been expecting things that we have no business expecting from Jesus? Have we turned our backs on him in some way? Has pride risen up in our hearts to where we're focused more on ourselves and less on the one who we're supposed to serve? So that's what we reflect on when we come to the table. Let's pray over these elements. Thank you, God, for showing us your truth through your Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for showing us the truth of the Father's love for us. Spirit, thank you for revealing to us who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross and through the cross. Take these symbols of your love and transform us as we remember your suffering and as we look forward to your coming. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, amen.